Sunday, the 24th of December, 2018, Midnight Communion Service. Sermon Series, What Are You Waiting For? Sermon Title, Peace. Bible Reading, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 to 7. Talk by Reverend Martin Court. Following the Bible reading, Martin's talk was prefaced by a film clip from the movie The Matrix. For reasons of copyright and audio-only context, this portion of the recording has been omitted.
Tonight's reading is from Isaiah 9, and I shall be reading from verses 2 to 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light on those living in the land of the shadow of death. A light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice. When dividing plunder, for as in the days of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And this is the word of the Lord.
Ooh. Our sermon series is What Are You Waiting For? Tonight we're talking about peace. So I thought we'd just start with a little bit of a fight first. That's the way to do that, surely. Peace. I wonder what that means to you. Now I know that you don't all know each other very well here tonight. But just quickly, 2 minutes with your neighbour, 1 minute with your neighbour. What does peace mean for you? What does peace mean for you? I wonder what you're talking about. I think that Christian peace is misconstrued. I wonder what kind of things you've mentioned. Fluffy clouds. A bird soaring in the air. Peace as in peace and quiet. Nothing happening. A sunbed on a deserted beach somewhere. Peace conjures up all sorts of things. I wonder if you discuss godly Morris dancers. Jumping around with little handkerchiefs. Fluttering on a gentle breeze. Children gone out on a sleepover. Coronation Street on the telly. Chocolate and a glass of wine for tea. Peace. Conjures up this stillness, doesn't it? At the end of strife, the still small voice at the end of the earthquake and of the thunder. And of course it is all of those things. Of course it is all of those things. But I think that the film clip that we've just seen, I think that that gets much closer to the truth of what Christian peace is all about. Keanu Reeves, with his balletic composure, ducking and diving as the bullets fly. And of course he is the portrayal of Jesus. I don't know if you know the film, if you've seen the film. But if you have, you'll have worked out that he is the biblical character of Jesus. And sometimes I think we love to think of Jesus in a fluffy manger, particularly at this time of the year, as a little baby and surrounded with the sheep and the oxen and all of them. We go, ah. But I don't think that's what it is at all. I think we forget that Jesus has come to fight. Why has he come to fight? He's come to fight because the world's a really harsh place. And he loves you and he wants you to get through it. In the Bible, this time of the year, of course, we think about Israel. Israel have done it again. The more they carry on, the stupider they seem to get. When they're with God, everything goes well. When they're without God, everything goes down the pan into destruction. The Bible says that they have done evil in the sight of God. Now, evil in the sight of God doesn't mean that they've gone out and joined with the knife crime that we've got, or the terrorism that we've got, or they've murdered anybody. No. Evil in the sight of God means that they know that there is a God, but that they've chosen to walk away from God. And the trouble is, God says, well, okay. If that's what you want to do, you've got choice. You can do that. Make your bed and lie in it. But actually, of course, when we make that choice, it breaks God's heart. God loves us so much. Max Lucado spoke about it in a book that he wrote. Jesus loves you just the way you are, but he doesn't want to leave you that way. He wants to be at work in your life. He wants to redeem you, rescue you, save you into a better way of life. Now, not just when we get up into a fluffy heaven. He wants to do it now as we walk through this life. But sometimes you have to hit rock bottom before you hear his voice. And Israel have hit rock bottom. Isaiah speaks at a time when Israel are taken off into exile, taken as slaves into Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar has come with his great army, and he has absolutely ransacked them. He's burnt their homes down, he's killed their children, he's destroyed their livelihoods, he's put them in shackles and he's carried them off, and now they're doing the jobs of a slave. Folks, that is rock bottom in anybody's book. What did God say? Now, every man in this place today will probably know exactly what God said, because this is like when you're doing some DIY at home, you're putting up a shelf or you're wiring in a new telly or something, and it just doesn't quite, it's just not going right. If you're like me, it never goes right. And the missus comes in with a cup of tea and says, how are you doing? And you want to be honest and you say, well, it's not really going very well. You know what she says? That's because you don't listen to me. That's what she's going to tell us, isn't it? And that is exactly what God says. But God is a God of compassion. He's a God of love. And his love for you and for me knows no bounds. And so he comes to Isaiah the prophet and he speaks again. And he tries to get us to hear again. He wants to give hope. Unto us a child is born. Unto us there's going to be a son who's going to be given. And the government is going to be on his shoulders. And he's going to be called Wonderful Counselor. Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Other than we don't always experience life as peace, do we? Do you remember the disciples out on the Sea of Galilee in the middle of the night and in the middle of a storm? Waves crashing against the boat. We're not talking a P&O cruiser here with all the stabilizers. This is a little fishing boat out miles from shore being whacked by the waves. Blown about like feathers in a pillow fight. Can you imagine the language that the fishermen are using? These are roughy, tufty men. Terrified, crying out to God, crying out to anybody. Probably God. Because we want to blame God, don't we? When the cancer comes, when the marriage breaks down, we want to blame him for our failures in life. But the grace of God is seen again because Jesus comes in that place, in that moment. We think godly peace is your nan warming your bed with an electric blanket, tucking you in and reading you a lovely bedtime story. Friends, I'm telling you, it's not that at all. True Christian peace is found when you've got nothing else to give, when you have hit rock bottom, when you've got nowhere else to go. These blokes are strong. They drag in fishing nets for a living by hand every day of their lives, but they cannot overcome the world. Matthew 14 and verse 27 says this, but Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. Friends, we are children of God. Each and every one of us made in the image of God, each carrying the breath of Yahweh in our lungs, each of us loved by heaven as if we were the only person alive. But the world tries to rob us of that, the storms of life, the circumstances, the poor bosses who treat us badly, or the distorted memories that come in and blur all the good things and highlight all the bad things that we've ever done. Even though even the word of friends sometimes really hurts us. We're made in God's image, but we can find heaven's identity is crushed in our hearts by this life until we can no longer recognize ourselves as made in the image of God. But let me tell you tonight, it's just not true. It's just not true. You are the image of God. Joshua, chapter 1 and verse 9. You remember Israel are going to cross the Jordan. The Jordan's in full flood. You would not cross the Jordan in full flood. The waters are raging. It's horrible. It's dreadful. Really dangerous. But they've got to do it. And God says this to them, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Wherever you go. Friends, the truth is that in him we are not weak. The battles we face will not defeat us. And Jesus comes walking in a storm and he calms the waters. Three thoughts tonight on the peace of God very, very quickly. God's peace, this is number one. God's peace is transformative. Transformative. This is a picture of you and me before we realize that God is on our side. And this is a picture once we've realized that God is actually on our side. If you see Keanu Reeves at the beginning of the Matrix film, he's questioning and fighting and wrestling and struggling. But in the clip that we've just seen, he is fully in control. He is calm. And my question to you tonight is, where is he calm? What's happening all around him? And what is happening all around him is battle and strife and struggle. People are trying to kill him and the war is raging, but he is as calm as the band playing on the deck of the Titanic at the end of the film. Jesus doesn't come to the disciples on the stormy sea shouting and crying. He comes in calm assurance and it is transformative. He calms the situation. He calms the disciples' hearts. He calms the waves. He restores sense. That's what he wants to do for you and for me. In the middle of a raging situation, God wants to speak heaven's reality back into our lives. That's why the disciples calm down. They realize who Jesus is. It amazes them. They cannot believe that he can command the wind and the waves. But they see it happening before their very eyes. He can do what they cannot do, and their fear subsides. Friends, the peace of God is transformative. Number two, the peace of God is gritty. The vicar is preparing pancakes for her two young sons when the boys begin arguing over who's going to get the first pancake. Their mother sees an opportunity for a moral lesson here. And she says, if Jesus was sitting here today, he would say, let my brother have the first one, I'll wait. And in quick as a flash, the younger boy said to the older, you be Jesus. Friends, life is not goody two shoes, is it? Where does Jesus meet the disciples? He meets them in the middle of the storm. At the time when life is falling apart, it's throughout the Bible. Every time, Abraham and Sarah, barren, he comes and meets them. Joseph thrown into prison, he comes and meets him. King David hiding in a cave because Saul's going to kill him. God doesn't offer us some sanitized holiness outside of the world. He offers us hope and strength in it. Jesus prayed that, didn't he? My prayer is, he's praying to God for his disciples who are in front of him. My prayer is that you don't take them out of the world, but you protect them whilst they're in this world. Jesus didn't avoid the world himself. He didn't avoid pain. He didn't avoid suffering. He walked straight through it, showing us that we can walk straight through it with him because he's the strength. God's peace comes in the fight, not in the silence. If you want rose-smelling massage oil and a sunbed on a white sandy beach, I think you're thinking of Sabbath rest. And we all need Sabbath rest. But that's not Christian peace. God's peace is only there in times of trial. His peace is transformative. His peace is gritty. And then lastly, God's peace gives us courage. You know, moving your family around is a big thing. When I came into ministry, I signed up for following God's call. But that meant that we had to move initially from Bournemouth up to Cambridge, where I studied. And then we moved from Cambridge down to Blandford, where I was going to do my curacy. And then at the end of my curacy, we've got to move again. We're on the open market. I've got to find a job. But actually, my belief is that God is going to direct me to find a job. It was about Easter. It was about Easter. I got onto the newspaper, sifted through, looking at job adverts. Chaz is at primary school, everything's okay there. But SJ is in year 10, coming up to move into year 11, GCSE's year. Now, I try to be a good parent. Let's not move anybody at a critical time in their education, because that's dreadful. And I'm thinking that God knows all of this. And so surely God is going to sort out for us a move by September so that SJ is going to have a full year and the very best chance we can give him for passing his GCSEs. In any case, another thing that we have to consider is that Salisbury Diocese are going to kick me out of our house come the end of the summer because they've only budgeted for the curate for the term of the curacy. I've got to get a job. Well, I prayed. And all I hear back from God is, I've got a job for you, keep looking. Now that's okay in April and May, but the months start passing. I went up for job interviews, this one or that one, got offered some, turned some down. I turned one down in Newbury. Mrs. Court was furious. They had a ride-on lawnmower. But I never felt that God said, it's this one, Martin, so I didn't go for it, I turned it down. Just kept looking. But now it's the summer. And Mrs. Court is now in my ear. I've got God saying, I've got a job for you. Keep on looking. I've got Julie saying, I don't want to disrupt our son's education. You've got to find a job, or we've got to go and talk to the diocese and tell them we're going to stay. But here's the thing. Life goes so much better with me when I listen to God and let him control my thoughts. I don't want to disrupt Simon's exam year any more than anybody else. I could feel Julie's panic. I could understand her panic. We love our kids. We want to do the very best for them. But for some reason, I wasn't panicked. I can't explain it. I should have been. The waves are starting to crash all around us. No job, no school for SJ. The possibility of no home in Salisbury. We're going to get kicked out. Guys, that's where God's peace comes in the battles of life. And because I had God's peace, I had courage to keep on going. Are you sure, Lord? Yep, there's a job coming. Are you sure, Lord? Yep, there's a job coming. And then this job came up. And when I came and looked around, immediately I knew this is it. Immediately I knew this is where we're going to be. I forget where we are now, end of November, beginning of Christmas. It's madness. We're not going to move in until February half term. SJ's going to have to start a new school and do all that learning from February, and the exams start in May. Do you know what happened? Amazing. St. Edward's School were doing the exact same examination boards as Simon had been studying for in Blandford. God had gone ahead of us in miraculous ways. That's why King David strolls out against Goliath. Doesn't matter the size of the opposition. God is always bigger. So often we want safety, don't we? Stay in a nice job, live a cushy life, don't risk anything at work, don't risk anything in the church, just be safe. But friends, that is to forget that God goes ahead of us into all situations. We don't need to fear, we don't need to worry. If you want to be wrapped up in cotton wool, go down to Boots and Superdrug, buy a load and wrap yourself up. God doesn't wrap his disciples up in cotton wool. He never did it for them. He never did it for King David. He doesn't do it for anything. Not letting them out of the house in case they hurt themselves. Actually, of course, with King David, it was God pushing him out into the battles. Folks, what do we want for Christmas? What do we want for Christmas? I want peace. I don't know about you, but I want peace. in my life, because the world out there is going absolutely mad. Christian peace is not fluffy. It's a peace that comes in strength. Paul says that God's peace is a peace that passes all understanding. Because it comes at a time when we should have no peace. It comes when we're in turmoil. It comes when the world is raging around us. And yet it comes and it brings us peace. It's transformative. It's gritty. And it brings us courage for us to go forward in His name. Friends, whatever storms you may be facing now, or whatever storms you will face in the future, and you will, because the world is a harsh place, I pray you will know the peace of God at work in your life, this day and forevermore. I pray upon you tonight that you would have a great and peace-filled Christmas. Amen.